Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. The grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Is the word already? So let's just pray now that God will bless our hearing of it, and preaching the word. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have allowed your word to be spoken in this world and to be placed in Scripture, and that over the now millennia of your church, you have preserved it and that it's here before us today. We think of brothers and sisters in other places that have no access to it, and we thank you for this, and we pray that our hearts will be soft before it, that your Spirit will work with it, and we will be changed for your glory. In Jesus we ask. Amen. Amen. So back to, let me see, what page is that? Page 5, I think, is where the sermon text is, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to talk a little about this text, about comfort. I don't know all of you well. Some of you I don't know at all. But I've been a pastor now in Long Island for going on 15 years, and out of that experience, it has been my experience that with Long Island Christians, when you kind of get underneath the surface of their lives just a little, lives that, by and large, seem very prosperous. You know, we live, you could say, better than a lot of aristocracy through history. There's a lot of material affluence here on the island. But when you get underneath that a little bit, I find that God's people just have crushing burdens. They are stretched. They are bowed down by a lot of things. Now, if that's not you today, if you're just chilling and life is good and you have no issues, just listen politely, and the rest of us, you know, you can pray for the rest of us while we kind of talk through this text, because most of us, I think, would say, if we're really honest, I've got some hard things in my life. And I would like to try to offer you today a word of comfort from this text, in which the greatest sufferer in the entire Bible, other than Jesus himself, that would be the Apostle Paul, talks very openly about afflictions, trials, burdens, suffering. And he talks to us about how God comforts us in those afflictions. And what I'd like to do is open up, as he does, with just a moment of honesty about afflictions. Just a moment of honesty. I want to say three quick things in this moment of honesty. Number one, you'll notice that afflictions, as Paul talks about them here, they are real. Paul is very open about the miserable time he has had lately. In verse 8, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength, we despaired of life. Afflictions are real. And while some people talk nonstop about their problems, you've probably met people like this, every time you're with them, they just, seems like all they can talk about is how hard their life is. I find that actually for a lot of Christians, there is a sort of reticence about mentioning afflictions. There is this persistent and utterly silly notion that if you're a good Christian, you're somehow kind of always up. You know, you're just sort of so in touch with Jesus, you're just kind of floating above it all the time. You know what the major problem with that model is? Jesus. Who, if you read, you know, in the Gospels, Jesus was not always up. Jesus experienced anguish. He experienced depression. He experienced sorrow. He got tired. He was bowed down with things. Not always, but that was there. And I don't know what it is, really, about this notion, why it's so persistent. Are we afraid of being ungrateful if we talk about our afflictions? Maybe some of us are afraid of complaining, and that's a fair concern. We all do tend to grumble and complain. But, you know, maybe sometimes it's just a fear of seeming needy. You know, I wouldn't want to be open about the hard times I've had because I wouldn't want to seem all needy. You know, God forbid we, you know, seem needy around people. Sometimes we're afraid of just kind of overstating the case. I mean, you know, you look at your life sometimes, you say, you know, most of my problems are kind of first world problems, and I don't want to, you know, exaggerate them. And that's all fair. That's, you know, those are fair reasons to maybe be a little bit slow to just talk about our problems. But whether you want to talk about it or not, the fact is the struggle is real. If you're with Jesus, you're struggling. If not right now, you will be. Afflictions are real. Temptation is real. God's discipline is real. The costs of loving are real. Manipulation and mistreatment sometimes. These are real things. Trying to be faithful in a hostile world, that's real. That's hard. That brings pain. Laboring and sometimes losing in an uncertain world where the race is not always to the swift, right? The battle is not always to the strong. You invest much and the other guy does not jack nothing and you're the one who ends up being on the losing end and he's making out, well, there are sufferings. There are hard things. Afflictions are real. Second thing I want to say in this moment of honesty is afflictions are often intense. Because it goes on to say, these weren't just real afflictions in Asia. This is the Apostle Paul, this guy had some grit. But he says, we were so burdened beyond our strength, we despaired of life. We felt we'd received the sentence of death. It was like being sort of on the gallows. Not just for Paul, but for you. Sometimes your sufferings following Jesus are going to seem unbearable because they are unbearable. And I want to try to just... We seriously, in the Church of Jesus Christ, need to stop saying these words, God will not give you more than you can bear. Can I just tell you, that is not in the Bible. That is false. I hear Christians quote that line all the time. The Bible says God will not give you more than you can bear. No, it doesn't. It does say that God will always give you a way to escape temptation in 1 Corinthians 10. But beloved, you read the stories of God's people in Scripture, there are all sorts of things that happen to God's people that are way beyond our strength, way beyond our wisdom, way beyond our capacity to bear. Why? To show you and me day by day that the excellency of the power is not of us. It is of God. That's the whole point. When I cannot bear it, God can. But it's intense. It's intense. And it's not wrong to say, I can't bear this. That's not contrary to the Bible. Paul says here, I felt like I couldn't bear it. It was crushing me to the point I felt like I would almost prefer death to life. And notice that Paul says in verse 8, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. And this brings me to a third thing I want to say under this moment of honesty. Afflictions are real. They are often intense to the point of being unbearable. The third thing I'd like you to notice is they are often hidden. They are often hidden. He says, I need to kind of rip the curtain off a little bit, guys, and show you what you can't necessarily see. Sometimes the acutest sufferings of God's people is not what you see. It's hidden. It's behind closed doors. We don't need to tell each other every single detail of our sufferings, but it's important. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be in the dark about the hard times I've had or that I'm having. It's important that we not forget, when you look at the brothers and sisters around you in the body of Christ, how much suffering is unseen. If we are ignorant of each other's sufferings, we will eventually be ignorant of how God is working. I cannot pray with you if I do not know, and I cannot rejoice with you when God helps you if I do not know. But afflictions are real, they are often intense, they are often hidden, a moment of honesty. Now, notice a second thing. A moment of honesty about afflictions, but now a second thing. Let's talk about the source of comfort in afflictions. Now, what's the right answer to every Sunday school question? Yes, you got a room full of second graders. You ask any question in Sunday school. God. Well, that, you know, Jesus. Well, that's a great answer, actually. And that is exactly what Paul says in verse 3. He says, God is the God of all comfort. The honesty about afflictions, that's important. But the source of comfort in afflictions, it really is God. Now, here's the question I have for you. How do we get that beyond being a nice little churchy cliche? Oh, God is my helper. God is my source of comfort. Because, you know, sometimes what I hear, if you really get into people's hearts and minds a little bit and they start to talk honestly, they would actually say this, no kidding, God, but where is he? It's all great to hear you stand up there, Pastor, and talk about God being the source of comfort, but where is God here and now in this? Right? Well, if we're going to answer that question, we need to drill down and engage a couple of other things in this text that help us connect to this source of comfort, still under the source of comfort. How do we connect to it? A couple of things. Notice what Paul says about the nature of comfort in verse 4. God comforts us in all our afflictions. Let's talk about the nature of God's comfort. It is not comfortableness. God's comfort we should not confuse it with comfortableness. God comforts us in the afflictions while they are going on in real time. God does not promise, he promises comfort. He does not promise that comfort is always going to make things easy. That's important to know. That's really important to know because it is actually frightening to me how many Christians I meet who have been told by, I'm just going to say, I think well-meaning teachers, but I think on this point, very much in error teachers who will basically tell them, if your circumstances aren't getting better and things aren't getting easier, it must be you don't have enough faith. You're not trusting God enough, because if you're really trusting God, you'd suddenly start to kind of come out of your pain into a more comfortable time. That's actually not always the case. But in the afflictions, God comforts us. What does it mean to comfort? What is comfort? What is the nature of the comfort? Well, to comfort in the biblical sense means to tenderly strengthen and encourage and console. That's God's comfort. He will tenderly strengthen you and encourage you and console you and come alongside you. That he will do, that he is doing. He comes alongside us in our afflictions, not as a mere well-wisher. Amen? He's not just there to, wring his hands and wish us well. He comes along, Paul says in verse 9, we were not relying on ourselves, but on God. And how's he described here at the end of verse 9? What does Paul say about this God who comes alongside us? He is the God who does what? He raises the dead. That's the God who comes alongside us to strengthen and encourage and console us in our sufferings. He is the God who raises the dead. And he says, Paul goes on to say in verse 10, he will be with us until he brings the deliverance. He delivered us from this deadly peril in Asia, and he will deliver us. We've set our hope on him that he will deliver us again. So here we are in our afflictions. God comes alongside us and comforts us. He encourages us, he consoles us, he strengthens us as the God who raises the dead. It may be that that's what it ultimately ends up being. The resurrection may be where finally the relief in full comes. But he will deliver us. He is not just a God who is passively available. I taught a class on mental health issues with a friend. She said that's one of the worst things about mental health struggles is people will not seek out help. And so if you're just a passive sort of, I'm there for you person, they won't seek you out. Well, God is not a passive, call me if you need me. God is actively moving into the lives of his people as the God of comfort. And the nature of his comfort is to console and strengthen and encourage. That's the first thing about comfort I want to say, is just the nature of it. But I want you to notice something else, because if you're really going to taste God's presence with you and his promises to you in the middle of your sufferings right where you are, there's a second thing about the source of comfort. We need to think about what Paul talks about in verse 5, the nature of comfort we've talked about, but secondly, notice what he says about our union with Jesus. Our union with Jesus. You really want to get a hold of God's presence and his comfort in your afflictions. You've got to think about what he says in verse 5, We share in whose sufferings? We share in Christ's sufferings. So this is mysterious stuff. But you and Jesus are so joined together by the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, that your sufferings are Jesus' sufferings. Now, you don't share in his sufferings that paid the price for our sin. That was his alone to bear. Only he could suffer like that. But when things hurt the members of Jesus' body on earth, the Bible tells us he takes that as a hurt to himself. He sympathizes with our weakness because he was tempted in every point like us, except he never sinned. And it's interesting the Apostle Paul would know, because you remember how he was converted? He's on his way to kill some Christians, and the heavens rip open, and Jesus has a conversation from heaven with Saul of Tarsus at the time. What does he say? "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You are touching the members of my body. I feel that in heaven." And Paul now, years later, is turning to the Corinthians and saying, when you suffer, these are the sufferings of Jesus, because you're united to him. The other side of that is that being joined to Jesus by his Spirit, it's not only that Jesus knows our sufferings in heaven. He also tells us in Romans 8 that that Spirit who joins us to our Lord helps us in our afflictions by praying within us with unspeakable groanings. Groanings that you and I do not have the ability to utter, cannot find words for. The Spirit articulates before the throne of God. And I think the promise of ultimate deliverance, which is what we pray for in these afflictions, it takes on new meaning if your present sufferings are the sufferings of Jesus. Because think about Jesus' sufferings. Everything Jesus suffered brought life. Everything Jesus suffered unto death was resurrected in glory. So that means something about your sufferings. It means that if you are suffering with Jesus and your sufferings are Jesus' sufferings, Jesus doesn't suffer any sufferings that don't end in life. Amen? Your sufferings are killing you right now, and they will produce life because they are Jesus' sufferings. That's the source of comfort. Your experience of suffering will follow the same path as Jesus' experience of suffering. Out of your death will come life, not just for you, Paul says in verse 9. God raises us. But you notice what he says in verse 6, God will also give life to other people through your sufferings. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. God is not just, he says in another place, death works in us so that life can work in you. It's not just that Jesus will lead you down the path of his own suffering toward resurrection in the end. He's already giving life to other people through your sufferings. The things you are bearing and struggling with and afflicted by, God is using that in the lives of other people to bring life. We often have to die so that others can live. So a moment of honesty about afflictions, the source of comfort in our afflictions, the nature of that comfort we talked about, our union with Christ. Thirdly and lastly, I just want to talk for a moment now about the path to comfort. The path to comfort in afflictions. A moment of honesty, the source of comfort, the path to comfort. Because while God is the source of our comfort, has to come from him, that strengthening, encouragement, and consolation, the power of Jesus' own Spirit within us, the hope that comes in being united to Christ. God is the source of comfort, but I want to say this, and it's important to end with this. We do have a role to play in this as well. We have to lay hold of this comfort. God is the source of it. We are not the source of it. We have a role to play in laying hold of it. Let me just say three quick things here. What does it mean to lay hold of comfort? What does Paul say about laying hold of comfort? Three quick things. Number one, in verse 6, how do we lay hold? What's the path? Number one, wait for God. If we're comforted, he says, it's for your comfort, which you experience. Now notice this. You experience comfort when you what? Verse 6. When you patiently endure. I have come to realize as a pastor that so very often the thing I need to tell people as I come alongside them in sometimes unthinkable, unimaginable sufferings, what I end up saying so often is, God is calling us to wait. We don't know what he's going to do. We don't know. And because he's God, that's okay. Sometimes the greatest faithfulness you can offer to God in afflictions is don't panic, just wait patiently. Patiently endure. Wait for God. God is not on our timetable. This is hard to live with, especially in impatient Long Island. I want it yesterday. God is not on our timetable, but we will not be disappointed. His help and life will come. But there's patiently enduring. It may be patiently enduring until the day of your death, and then you are ushered into Jesus' presence, and then the resurrection, and then it's all good. But whatever it is, there's patiently enduring. Read the Bible stories. They're full of this. Wait for God. Second thing, though, well, do I just wait? No. Second thing, verse 11, this is a very big deal. And for you as a young church in the making, this is critically important to learn to do this. And if you don't do this, it's going to be tough to bond as a church in the way that you must. Pray for each other. He says in verse 11, you must help us by prayer. Now listen, if the Apostle Paul says, I need help from the saints in prayer, you and I shouldn't think we're going to rise above that. We need to be praying for each other. You need to pray for me. I need to pray for you. We need this from each other. Pray for each other. Help each other by prayer. He says at the very end of verse 11, many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing that was granted to us through what? Now notice this. God is the source of blessing. How did that blessing get to the Apostle Paul? He says God granted us this blessing through the prayers of many. And I'm going to go so far as to say God would not have granted it without the prayers of many. I'll put it that strongly. I know God's going to put food on my table because I pray, give me this day my daily bread. If I don't get out of bed in the morning, go to work and earn my bread, I shouldn't sit there and expect God to bring me bread. I'm going to go so far as to say, God is a source of comfort, and if we're not praying it for each other, we don't have a right to expect it. God may still give it graciously, but we have no right to demand from God what we have not prayed for together. Amen? Amen. Prayer is how often the means through which God gives us these blessings. Pray like you mean it. Pray like you're desperate, because we are. God grants blessings through prayers. Pray this text. Pray the psalm. I don't care what you pray from the Bible. Just pray. Pray for each other. Wait for God. Pray for each other. The third thing, the path to comfort. And this is very interesting to me. Don't just pray for each other. Talk to each other. This is very interesting. In verse 7, our hope for you is unshaken because we know. Notice how Paul talks to these Christians. As you share in our sufferings, beloved Corinthians, you will also share in our comfort. Talk to each other. This is not a man who's complaining. Well, you know, we suffer and you're going to suffer too, and isn't that horrible? This is a man who's testifying. He's testifying. The comfort that God has given us, he is going to give you. He says in verse 4 that the comfort that God has given to him and to those who were with him in Asia after all that horrible business that went down there, that comfort was given to him for these Corinthians. God comforted us so that we would be able to give that comfort to others who are in affliction. So it isn't just waiting for God. It isn't just praying for each other. It is God giving you an experience of comfort that you pass on, where you can say verse 7 to a struggling brother or sister, listen, I know you are suffering, and I know that as you share in our sufferings, you will share in the comfort Jesus has given to us. You hang in there, my friend. Because God took care of me. God will take care of you. That is testifying. And notice the honesty again. It's a testimony that says the struggle is real. You don't come alongside saints and like downplay, like, well, you know, compared to other people's sufferings, you've got pretty small potatoes here. No, it's like, you are struggling, I hear you, I get it. But our Savior is as real, he is more real than the sufferings. And you testify together, you talk to each other. And then when God sends you the comfort, often in this life, when God sends those small resurrections that anticipate the one to come, enjoy it together. Get together, have some food and drink and celebrate together. God's merciful to me. He's lifted me up. That's the comfort of God. So honesty, know the source, take the path. God bless these things to our hearts. Lord, teach us to live in the hope and the joy of your comfort. And we pray that this will be a light to so many in this world who need to see a source of comfort that only your Son Jesus can give. In his good name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Let's give to the Lord now his tithes and our offerings.